Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about a very, very exciting modality in the field of integrative medicine, and that is hyperbaric oxygen therapy. You know, oxygen is the staff of life, and we know that there are specific indications for oxygen therapy. Say you're a diver and you get the bends, or if you have a poorly healing wound, oxygen is very therapeutic. But there's a whole new frontier opening up of innovative applications of hyperbaric oxygen therapy. It's really quite fascinating. And today we're going to talk to a couple of experts. First, Dr. Henry Prince. He's the medical director at Hyperbaric Medical Solutions, which has locations here in New York, where I'm broadcasting from, and on Long Island. He completed his residency at North Shore University Hospital in Manhasset, and he is accredited to practice HBO therapy. That involves a certain amount of training and certification to understand its safety and its applications. And he has used HBO therapy to treat many hard-to-manage disease processes. He's also board-certified in obstetrics and gynecology, and he's been practicing for over 30 years, together with Dr. Scott Scherer. Dr. Scherer is a medical advisor to Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. He's a board-certified internal medicine physician with additional certification in hyperbaric oxygen medicine. He's a member of the Undersea and Hyperbaric Medical Society, and he works as an integrative HBOT physician in San Francisco and has a special interest in the use of HBOT for traumatic brain injury and stroke. We'll talk about that more extensively today. So without further ado, welcome, doctors. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so first, you know, perhaps acquaint us with what this is. What is hyperbaric oxygen? Is it just breathing a little bit of, you know, oxygen like you see patients breathe, you know, who are in the hospital, or is it something more focused and concentrated?
Well, it certainly is much different than just breathing oxygen. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy is essentially using a combination of 100% oxygen, using oxygen as a drug, as well as adding pressure. And it's a combination of those two situations, adding pressure and 100% oxygen, which give hyperbaric oxygen therapy its unique properties and abilities.
Right. So, and a lot of people don't realize that hyperbaric oxygen has positive outcomes in the treatment of certain other conditions, which are considered off-label. In other words, well, we know about let's first about talk about the traditional use of hyperbaric oxygen, and then we can move to the more innovative applications. Dr. Scherer, did you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to follow up on what Dr. Prince mentioned about the definition of hyperbaric therapy, and I think he did a great job. I think the one additional piece that I would mention, it's the combination of increasing the amount of oxygen in circulation and increasing concentration within the cellular structures, the cells of our body, that really makes everything happen. And when you're talking about hyperbaric therapy, and we'll go through the off-label and the on-label indications, everything comes from this dramatic increase in concentration that's occurring. It really changes our underlying physiology and causes a cascade of things to happen that really optimize that and really heal wounds in a number of different ways. Whether those wounds are small, the ones we can't see, or bigger and the ones we can see, by decreasing inflammation, fighting infection, increasing blood vessel formation, optimizing all stages of wound healing.
Okay, so perhaps let's tackle first, you know, this is actually a therapy that's a traditional therapy, and it's covered by insurance for certain indications, but there are some elective ways of using this therapy where patients are willing to front out the cost of the therapy because it's sort of an innovative application of a therapy that may not, the insurance companies have not yet caught up with. But let's talk first about what traditionally is covered in terms of hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Dr. Prince, you want to take that?
Sure. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy traditionally was first discovered as a treatment for the bends or decompression illness. But we've seen a great expansion of its use in the 20th century. Today, we use it extensively for the treatment of difficult non-healing wounds. These are usually wounds of the lower extremity in diabetics. It also can be used for the treatment of serious infections. And these can be infections that involve the brain as well as infections that involve the bone.
So-called osteomyelitis, which is a very, very tough infection indeed to treat. It requires weeks of intravenous antibiotics, and it's very hard to get to because there's not a lot of oxygen going to the bone.
Absolutely. And what hyperbaric oxygen therapy does is, in addition to helping the body treat itself, it increases the white cell's ability to fight infection. It actually helps some antibiotics work better. And the body's ability to fight infection is very much dependent upon the presence of oxygen. So oxygen is critical for fighting severe infections.
And, you know, I've visited your facility here in Manhattan. I believe you're actually the only, if I'm not mistaken, the only place that does hyperbaric oxygen therapy in Manhattan. Is that correct?
No, there are other facilities in Manhattan, but we are the only freestanding facility.
Okay.
So we're the only facility in Manhattan that can treat the traditional diagnoses, the on-label diagnoses, but in addition, be able to treat with the same standard of care as a hospital, be able to treat the off-label or investigational diagnoses.
Right.
And this is really very exciting.
Exactly. So in other words, if you say you were a diver, a recreational diver in the East River, which is I wouldn't recommend, and you got the bends, you could go to like Columbia or Cornell, and they probably have a chamber and they could fix you, right? And actually, I think the first incident of the bends actually occurred in the East River. It occurred in people who were building, was it the Brooklyn Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge, one of the bridges?
Yeah, yes, it was. It was actually initially called Caisson's disease.
Right.
Because it occurred in the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge, in the construction of the caissons, which were the underpinnings or the underwater part of the bridge.
Right. And they were under...
pretty classic.
It wasn't properly pressurized. And as a result, they got, in effect, what divers experience when they ascend too quickly. The point I was going to make is that, say, you're a police diver and you get the bends, you can go to the hospital and get it treated. But say you're a stroke patient and you want to get the benefits of or a Lyme disease patient or traumatic brain injury patient and you want to accelerate your recovery with hyperbaric oxygen, the conventional hospitals won't treat you. You would have to go to hyperbaric medical solutions to get that kind of treatment, correct?
That would be the case, Ron.
Okay.
We're the only freestanding facility, the only facility in New York City that would be able to undertake treatment courses with hyperbaric therapy for those particular indications that are not covered by insurance. But again, as Dr. Prince mentioned, we have the same standards that you would get if you were at a hospital. But mm-hmm. if you do have the bends, please don't come to us. Please go to a hospital.
Right. Absolutely.
In an ambulance, okay, because this is not elective therapy. It's not something
yes,
you could
please.
Say. Yeah, I'll come in. You know,
don't
I think I'm free next
Uber.
Thursday. You got an appointment? No, you got to get the treatment right away. Okay, so what does it look like? What does it entail for the patient? You know, I think it almost requires a picture to describe it. Can you give us a description of what that process is like?
Certainly. The first, before we treat any patient, each patient will undergo an extensive evaluation by a physician, and they'll be evaluated to make certain that they are appropriate candidates for hyperbaric, and to make certain that they will be able to tolerate hyperbarics, but also, very importantly, to get them to understand what hyperbaric oxygen therapy is, how it works, why it works, and how it makes sense for their particular condition. The actual treatment is painless. You go into an acrylic chamber. So a lot of people are very fearful of being in an enclosed area. But because it is acrylic, you can see through it.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to show TV or video movies, cable channels, or just listen to music. When I've gone into the chamber, actually, I try to sleep because I find it very relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think the only thing you can't do is probably smoke a cigarette. That's probably not a good idea in that chamber.
No. Actually, what I tell patients is you go into the chamber with what you were born with and specially treated cotton garments that we provide you.
Okay. Got it. And it is a very high-tech process by which you get into one of these high-pressure chambers that are unique to facilities like yours. And by how many times normal atmospheric pressure do you increase the oxygen pressure?
Well, the typical diagnoses that we treat at Hyperbaric Medical Solutions, we will usually treat anywhere from 2 to 2.4 times the pressure that we find at sea level. So the pressure at sea level is defined as 1 atmosphere. We will can treat at 1.5, 2, and up to 2.4 atmospheres.
Okay. So some people who are listening to this podcast, they might say, well, you know, I got a doctor in New Jersey, and they've got one of these tents, you know, that's like a kind of inflatable tent. In fact, they even want to sell me one. I can get one for home use, and that gives me hyperbaric oxygen. But what's the difference in terms of the pressure?
Most of the soft chambers, and what you're talking about, are considered soft chambers, and we use exclusively hard chamber hyperbarics. The soft chambers are different in several fashions. Number one, they're not able to get to the same pressures. Usually they go up to 1.3, 1.4 atmospheres. But more importantly, you can't use 100% oxygen in these chambers. These chambers use something called air concentrators, which are able to increase the oxygen content up to about 40% usually, but we use 100% oxygen.
Right.
And 100% oxygen is actually a drug and really should only be used under doctor supervision.
Indeed. So yeah, I guess it's just as well. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. I apologize. I was just going to mention and agree with Hank that there's a safety consideration here, and I think we're very, very cognizant of that at Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. We have the hard chambers. The soft chambers, you know, the challenge with those is that the supervision aspects, the medical clearance, we do believe very strongly patients really should get evaluated by a physician that has expertise in hyperbaric therapy before going into any chamber that's pressurized. But having 100% oxygen, as Hank mentioned, is like a drug, and we treat it that way. And so we're very, very cognizant of that. And we often get these same questions from parents and from patients looking to use hyperbaric therapy from what we, call an investigational perspective. And we go through that most of these chambers cannot reach the depths that will really be able to treat their condition. In fact, most conditions outside of the central nervous system require more than 1.5 or about 25 feet of seawater pressure, or more for having any therapeutic effect.
So what you're saying is basically this is the real deal. If you want hyperbaric oxygen therapy, maybe it's preferable not to dabble with the soft chambers because, there may be some benefits, but really most of the research is based on using the hard chambers that offer the ability to apply more pressure and 100% oxygen, really drive that oxygen deep within the tissue, correct?
Absolutely correct. And again, as Dr. Scherr had mentioned, there's a real safety issue. Putting yourself into essentially a plastic container with your air supply being supervised outside of your control is a very dangerous thing and should only be done under supervision. So we're very much safety conscious here. We believe that first do no harm is one of the biggest and most important laws in medicine. And we are very intent on treating our patients safely and appropriately.
And so, and while we're on the subject of safety, any potential downsides to that, or are there certain contraindications or certain types of patients who might not be suitable for this? I mean, I see that even small children are treated with this, very elderly patients, sometimes patients with very severe heart problems, breathing problems can be treated safely. But what are some of the considerations when you vet patients for the suitability of hyperbaric oxygen?
Excellent question. One of the biggest concerns with hyperbaric oxygen therapy is the ability of the lungs themselves to tolerate that pressure. So certainly anyone who has recently had a pneumothorax, which is a collapsed lung, is somebody we'd be very concerned about putting into a chamber. Because the pressure does put pressure, the increased pressure in the chamber does convert to pressure on the lung, and it's very important to be certain that the lungs are able to tolerate that. So someone with severe COPD or emphysema that has big blebs on their lungs, we would be worried or concerned about treating them.
Okay.
Also, somebody who has severe congestive heart disease is somebody that we need to be carefully looking at, because hyperbaric oxygen therapy does cause some increase of what's called afterload. So it makes it a little bit harder for the heart to work. So if somebody is just on the border of congestive failure and not, hyperbaric oxygen therapy can put them over the edge.
Okay.
So we will certainly be very careful with these patients. It doesn't mean that we can't treat them, but that we have to be certain that their heart is able to tolerate, again, that extra workload.
Mm-hmm. And how about patients
we are able to treat...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We are also able to treat patients with seizures, but we have to be very careful because hyperbaric oxygen therapy can slightly increase the threshold for seizures. So patients who have a history of seizures, if they're on medications, it's very important that they continue to take the medications regularly. Now, it's always important to do that, but more so when you're putting somebody into a chamber.
Right. And that might be a consideration, especially in stroke patients, because sometimes stroke patients develop a propensity to have seizures because of changes in the brain. So you may see some patients where, okay, they get seizures. You're going to make sure that their seizures are well controlled before you expose them to high levels of oxygen in order to facilitate their recovery from stroke.
Absolutely correct.
Okay. What about patients who have ear problems? You know, I know that as a diver, you know, when I go underwater, deep underwater, sometimes the pressure increases and you have to kind of do a clearing maneuver to sort of relieve the pressure on your ears. Are ear problems a contraindication to going in that high pressure chamber?
It may be, but it should not be.
Okay.
Barotitis, or inflammation of the middle ear or the eardrum, is probably one of the most common side effects that we can get from hyperbarics. We instruct all of our patients, however, that really going into a chamber should be painless. So if it is a function of changing the rate of pressure, sometimes that is necessary. All of our technicians are very, very adept at teaching our patients how to clear their ears, how to be able to make certain that the pressure is the same on both sides of the eardrum.
Equalizing the pressure, yeah. That's what divers are taught to do, yeah.
Exactly.
This is Scott, and 95% of patients, Ron, have no problem
right.
at all. And about 5% of patients do. And with those 5%, there is about 95% even of those will get through hyperbaric therapy with the techniques that we can use and that our technicians are very adept at actually teaching. The other 5% of that would potentially use ear tubes like you would use in a child with chronic ear infections.
Mm-hmm.
And those make, there's no trouble at all after that if you have tubes that are equalizing the pressure. And we do use that with some patients with severe traumatic brain injuries or some children with neurocognitive conditions where they cannot really follow directions. And so that takes it out of the equation.
Well, that actually triggers a discussion of the use of this in children with neurocognitive problems. There's actually a trend in the innovative autism community to apply this therapy to children with cognitive disorders. And these kids, obviously, sometimes not the most disciplined, sometimes a little bit obstreperous. Is it possible to treat them in a chamber?
Yes, actually, we've had some very interesting results treating these patients. When I first started doing hyperbarics and we started treating some of the younger children with these neurocognitive disorders, I was always very concerned about how would they going to do putting them into an enclosed chamber? Almost to a trial, though, we've had not any difficulty, and it's been the patients' parents are usually very concerned. And actually, initially, I was very concerned, but it seems there's something calming about the pressure and the oxygen. To a child, we have not had a patient that was not able to tolerate the treatment and was not able to really be much less hyperactive and much less random their movement, putting them into the chamber.
Mm-hmm. And the theory behind it is that there may be benefits in terms of supplying oxygen to regions of the brain that are undersupplied, because that's at least one of the theories behind autism is that there's inadequate cerebral perfusion, or there's inadequate activity of certain brain regions that may be associated with focus, concentration, and cognition.
Absolutely.
Ron, I just follow up what Hank said, and what I would also say is that's really important, especially with neurocognitive conditions, whether it's in adults or children, that these patients also have good integrative functional practitioners that are working together with them and us. And we're very much of the vein that, patients like the patients with autistic spectrum or patients post traumatic brain injuries or even Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and other things that we treat and have success with really work with a functional practitioner at the same time, because we all realize at Hyperbaric Medical Solutions and at where I work in San Francisco too, that it's not just about hyperbaric therapy, it's about a combination of therapies that works most effectively, decreasing inflammation with diet, supplements, making sure lab work is in order. And we don't do all of this, but we have practitioners all around us in New York City and Long Island and San Francisco that help us and work with us to really better patients in a more efficient and, I think, a more comprehensive way.
Right, and it is important that you work with a physician who gets it about hyperbaric oxygen therapy and understands where it takes its place among the arsenal of therapies that are available for a variety of conditions. So that's a good and prudent practice. All right, this you've set the stage for a discussion of some of the innovative applications of hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Our listeners know that we divide our podcast into two parts, so consider this part one. In part two, we'll open our lens and take a look at some of the fascinating new research that supports the use of hyperbaric oxygen in conditions ranging from stroke to post-Lyme disease, traumatic brain injury, and we'll talk a little bit about cancer, because there actually is some fascinating new research on oxygen therapy as an adjunct to cancer treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Drs. Henry Prince and Dr. Scott Scherer. They're both associated with Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. Gentlemen, can you give the information about how to get in touch with Hyperbaric Medical Solutions so that people listening to part one can refer to your website and get information?
Certainly. Our website is hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com. We have a interactive website, and there's a lot of information that can be obtained. Also on the website is the Ask the MD spot, which allows patients who have any interest in hyperbarics to send us an email, and we will then, within 24 to 48 hours, get back to them with an answer discussing how hyperbaric oxygen therapy may be helpful to them. Our telephone number for all of our facilities, we share a common number, which is 516-802-5025.
And your locations are, as we mentioned, Manhattan, but also you have two locations on Long Island?
Yes, we have a location in Medford, that's in Suffolk County, and in Woodbury in Nassau County.
Okay. And
you
Dr. Scherer,
follow us on social networks. The social networks, it's at HMS and Hyperbaric Medical Solutions on Facebook.
Great. All right, lots of resources for people to check into. So let's proceed with part two coming up. Subject, hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.